we're going to learn a short shiur about Esther HaMalka. Who was she? What can we know about her? When I first learned Masechet Megillah, I discovered so many new things about her that I didn't learn in school. Like in school, they paint this picture of this young Jewish girl, very brave. But when I learned the Masechet, I remember that I'm like, what? I never knew this and this. And Chachamim say so many things about her. And Maggie made a joke that the Gemara says that Esther Yirakroket Haita, greenish, and I look a little bit like this tonight, so I apologize again. And I'm going to share my presentation with you guys. And let's talk a little bit about Esther HaMalka, this amazing figure. So, wait, let's go to the beginning. Okay, so what can we know about Esther HaMalka from the Megillah, from the text, and from everything that lies, I think, beneath the text and in between the text? And what are the Chachamim trying to tell us about Esther HaMalka that we didn't know before? So let's dive right in. And the first slide talks about Megillah Daf 7, which you've all learned, and which was the first thing that really surprised me. And that is the discussion between Esther and the Chachamim. She tells them, I want to be part of the Tanakh. And they say, well, listen, I imagine it is like kind of this committee of them sitting. Of course, it wasn't a committee. And they're telling her, listen, you're not supposed to be part of the Tanakh. Your story is not one that we want in the Tanakh. And there's a back and forth. She says, I want people to remember me and my story, which was miraculous. And they tell her, listen, but what about Kinat Meoreret Aleinu? What will people say? And you're not really fit, maybe because Hashem's name doesn't appear in the Megillah. Maybe because, if you will come to think about it, she married a non-Jew. Or because the happy ending is that the Jews are saved, but also, if you think about it, they're not going back to Eretz Yisrael, even though they're in the period when they build the second Beit HaMikdash. Maybe they could. We don't know exactly why they don't go back to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe if you'd ask every good Jewish mom, she would say, I want kids, grandkids. If you compare maybe to Ruth, a different Megillah in the Tanakh, the ending of the Megillah is with David HaMelech, the great-grandson, and here in Esther, it doesn't happen. So again, she comes to Chachamim, and she says, I want to be part of the Tanakh, and they tell her no. And it's true that eventually she is part of the Tanakh, but this discussion, and I think more than that, the idea that the discussion is in the Gemara, and no one censored it, and no one deleted this discussion, I think is part of a very interesting issue. And I thought about it, why? And maybe the kids being married to a non-Jewish king and not having Shem Hashem in the Megillah, and in different parts, in different Mekorot, some of the Chachamim say that maybe there was assimilation. Maybe her name Esther is coming from the name Ashtar, which was a goddess. Not a Jewish, of course, not a Jewish goddess. So maybe there was assimilation, and maybe that's another reason. But altogether, we see this discussion, and we feel a little bit uncomfortable about it. What do you mean? She's our greatest queen, our most famous queen, and still the discussion is there. Now, moving on. Okay, translation. Moving on to somewhere else in a Megillah. Daf Yudaled, she Esther appears in the list of the prophets, right? 48 neviim v'sheva neviot nitnabu lahem leYisrael. And the Gemara is asking, okay, what are their names? And Esther appears here next to Sarah, Miriam, Dvorah, Chana, Avigail, Chulda, v'Esther. And then we would ask, here's the translation into English, and then I would ask, okay, but what do you mean that she was a Nevi'ah? I don't remember anywhere in the text in Megillat Esther where it says Esther was a Nevi'ah. What Nevi'ah did she get? So the Gemara says that remember when she was standing in front of Ahasuerus and asking for her nation after she fasted for 3 days, after she needed a little bit of a push from her uncle, from Mordechai. Eventually, she came before the king, King Ahasuerus, and she's about to ask for her nation. And the Pasuk says that, let's go back to the Hebrew, Vayi bayom ha-shlishi v'telbash Esther malchut. But the Pasuk should have said, what do you mean v'telbash bigdei malchut? Because no one can wear the crown or majestiness. You can wear these clothes. So the Gemara is asking, what does that mean that the Pasuk says, Vayihi bayom ha-shlishi v'telbash Esther malchut? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, what does that mean? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her Ruach HaKodesh. Meaning, what was her prophecy? How can I say that Esther was a Nevi'ah? Because she was giving Ruach HaKodesh at that minute when she was standing in front of Ahasuerus, terrified, when she said to her uncle, I can't go in front of Ahasuerus because he might kill me because he didn't summon me. And I know that's the rule in the palace. So in that exact minute, when she was standing in front of him, what does it mean? Vatilbash Esther Malchut. She got Ruach HaKodesh. She got Nevuah. And this is how we show that she is a Nevi'ah. So Esther is part of this very prestigious list of Sheva Nevi'ot. So we see that even though in Daf Zayin, the Gemara was a little bit indecisive and the Chachamim were indecisive whether or not she should be part of the Tanakh, we see a few Dapim later that they're saying she's in this list of Nevi'ot. We had 48 men prophets and she was in the female list of Nevi'ot. She's totally in there. And what I want to say is that I think we can relate Esther Malka to a different figure in Tanakh. If I had to think of a different figure who was facing some things that are very similar to Esther Malka, I would think that would be Moshe Rabbeinu. If you come to think about it, both were not, well, Esther was really an orphan, and Moshe, thank God, wasn't. But still, both of them were taken away from their families into a foreign king's palace, who eventually hated the Jews, or was part of not liking the Jews. And they were there feeling very, very strange and strangers, because Esther was taken to the palace against her will. She didn't choose to go there. And if you come to think about it, Moshe's life was a little bit the same. He was so young, no one asked him. And he was taken to the palace by Paro's daughter, and he had nothing to say about it. And both of them lived with this very strong Jewish identity, knowing that they don't belong, but also knowing that if they're there, maybe it's very important to the Jewish nation. So let's look at the beginning of the Megillah. Ish Yehudi haya b'Shushan HaBirah u'shmo Mordechai ben Yair, the whole family list. And we see that Esther lives at his house. Ki en la avaim, so she lost both her parents, and she's taken into the palace. Beishamad dvar haMelech v'dato uveikabetz ne'arot rabot el Shushai. Esther, as we know, the famous pasuk, v'tilakach Esther el Bet haMelech. Now look at the second chapter of Shmot about Moshe being born. Vayelech ish mi bet Levi, we know the famous story. And after he's born, his mother puts him in a basket in the Nile. And she says to Miriam, his sister, go watch him. Just like Mordechai was watching Esther, we have the family member who's watching anxiously to know what will happen to either Esther in Megillat Esther or Mordechai in Sefer Shmot, and he's been taken to the palace. And the last pasuk, Vayigdal hayeled v'tevi'ehu lebat paro v'yila leben. So he lives in the palace, and Esther also lives in the palace as Ahasuerus's wife, being chosen from all the other women. So even though I said at the beginning that we might look at Esther Some of the Chachamim said maybe she was part of the assimilation of that generation because of her name. She married a goy, even though it was totally unwillingly. What I'm trying to show is that I think she's a very strong Jewish young woman. And I'm sorry, I don't have translation for the El Sheikh because I didn't find any translation, so I'll do my best. But El Sheikh writes on the second chapter of Esther, and he says there's a very famous pasuk about how many nations Ahasuerus had in his kingdom, and we know it's 127. And it's a very peculiar number. And did you ever think about it? The 127 also appears in the Tanakh somewhere else. So what the El Sheikh does, he connects the two appearances of the number 127. And he says, אמנם אין ספק כי מאשר הראנו התברך את כל הגדולות אשר עשה אלוהים על ידה, כולנו חייבים להודות כי צדקת גמוראי. So first of all, he says, if any of you thought different about Esther, I will tell you she's a tzaddeket, a holy tzaddikah, and there's no doubt about it. But he says there's something else. כיוונו רבותינו בנועם אל יצאתם לאמור, למה מלכה על 127 מדינות? Why did she marry Ahasuerus, whose kingdom contained 127 states? Because that's how many years Sara Imenu lived. Tavo Esther, bat bita shel Sara. Sara, from many, many years ago, from the beginning of the Tanakh, shechayta 127 shana, v'timloch al 127 medinot. So what the El Sheikh is trying to say, there is an internal connection between Esther and our foremothers and forefathers and the leaders of our nation, whether it is Moshe, as I showed you, or Sara Imenu. The El Sheikh is saying, we're not speaking about no assimilation, and no, we're not speaking about a young lady who wasn't connected to her Jewish identity. On the contrary, he says, tzadeket aita, she's a really big tzadikah, and she's connected. And he says, the numbers are not random. She was the queen of Ahasuerus's kingdom, and they had 127 states because that's the connection that to Sara Imenu, who lived for 127 years. So we can't doubt this figure after this beautiful connection that the El Sheikh is teaching us. And different interpretation from the Midrash, from Yalkut Shimoni. When Esther is in the palace and she doesn't know exactly what's going on outside of the palace, and then she hears that Mordechai is sitting outside ripping his clothes, he's mourning, he's fasting, and she's sending out her servant to ask what's happening. Imagine her, I sometimes feel so bad for her. She doesn't have a radio, she doesn't have Facebook. She's totally disconnected from the world outside of the palace. She lives there by herself. No one knows that she's Jewish. And then she hears that something is happening outside the palace, but she doesn't know what. So the pasuk says, "V'tetzaveu al Mordechai ladat ma ze ve'al ma ze." What's happening? I hear that you're wearing different kind of clothes and that you're mourning and that you're upset, but tell me what happened. So the Midrash teaches us a very interesting lesson. It says, Amar Beitzchak Bar Nafcha, Shalchale, she's asking Moshe in a very secretive language. Shem Avru Yisrael al Chamisha Chumshe Torah, Sheneemar Mizeh Umizeh Em Ktuvim. So the Midrash said she was sending a message through a messenger, but she really wanted to ask Moshe something else. But the Midrash is really teaching us that she knew the Torah. She knew the Torah because she's quoting different psukim and she's giving these hints to Mordechai, to tell him what happened. Why did we get this decree? Did we as a nation, the Jewish nation, did something wrong that we got this decree from Haman? And the Midrash is saying, Beremez ayu meshivim ze lazeh. They were speaking in codes. And the way that good Jews speak in codes is through psukim. He can't really tell her upfront what is happening. So he's using code words. And he says, why does it say "Vayaged lo Mordechai et kol asher karahu"? Why do they use the term "et kol asher karahu"? Because he's trying to give her a hint. Listen, remember Who do we refer in the Tanakh as Asher Karcha Baderech? That's Amalek. Mordechai is talking to her in the same code language of Psukim, and he's telling her, you have no idea what we're up against, Amalek. Remember that the Tanakh taught us Asher Karcha Baderech, which we're about to read in this week's Parashat Zachor. So this is what I'm telling you. We're not up against a small enemy. This is Amalek we're facing here. You have no idea what is going on, and this is what we're facing, and he wants to destroy the Jews, just like Amalek wanted to so many years ago. So again, we see this is a translation of the Midrash. Again, we see that not only that she wasn't assimilating, that she wasn't like remote from everything Jewish, the Midrash is, and the Gemara itself is painting a picture of a very knowledgeable young lady who knows Psukim. She can speak in code language with her uncle. He taught her Torah, and she can say without saying, what is happening? Did we do something wrong? And he replies, we're facing Amalek. He's using the same words as the words in Shmot. And remember, who was facing Amalek in Shmot? It was Moshe Rabbeinu. So he's actually telling her, remember Moshe Rabbeinu, our greatest leader? He faced Amalek and he won. And now it's you. We have the same enemy right now, so many years later, but you're the leader now of the Jewish nation. So you have to respond. Another midrash that tells us, going back to that moment. So Esther is, she understands how horrible the situation is and what the Jewish nation is about to face. And she's asking everyone to fast for her and daven for her and ask for the decree to be canceled. And after 3 days, she's taking off the mourning clothes and she's wearing her prettiest dress. And she's about to face the king, even though he didn't ask her to come. And the Midrash is telling us she wasn't alone. Even though she was scared and she told her uncle, I don't know if I can go. And he replies with the famous pasuk, do you think this is why you're queen? You're not queen for the jewelry and for the makeup. You're queen for this. This is your shlichut. This is your mission in life, to save us. And after 3 days, she's gets up and about to knock on the door. And the Midrash says that she wasn't alone. The malachim, the angels, were around her, helping her, and even so, the Midrash in the middle says, "Yesh omrim Michael Meshachai." He actually had to really give her a push and help her be stable because she was so scared, and he helped her. And this is why she was there, and this is what changed everything. Even though Hashem's name doesn't appear in the Megillah, the angels were there with her, and the question is, when she's finally there, when she's finally standing in front of Achashverosh, and he asks her, my queen, what do you want? And if I would have to guess what will come next, I would think she would say, save my nation from Amalek, from Haman. But surprisingly, she says, tomorrow, come to the feast tomorrow. They're at the feast and she's asking them to come again. And it's a very big question. Why? Why did she procrastinate? Why did she not say, okay, this is the bad guy. Let's finish the story. And this Midrash connects again. Esther, the queen, Queen Esther and Moshe Rabbeinu. She said to herself, I'm not procrastinating. I'm not saying tomorrow just because I can't say it because I'm too scared to face the bad guy. She's saying tomorrow because she remembered that Moshe Rabbeinu also said, Machar ele al Rosh HaGiva, I'm going to fight Amalek tomorrow. And she says, not only do I speak with code language to Mordechai to understand what is going on, she's also getting her strength and her courage from Moshe Rabbeinu. She relates to the same person who grew up in a foreign king's palace, being around, being very far from their Jewish family, knowing that they're Jewish, but need to hide it and to live among so many foreign people. And then to know that they were chosen to be the leaders. And like Esther Malka, Moshe did not want to be chosen. He didn't want to be leader. He just said, okay, Hashem says to him, you're the leader of Am Yisrael. And he says, find someone else. It's not me. I'm not the guy for your job. And Esther also, she says to Mordechai, what can I do? The king did not call me. He did not tell me, come and see me. I can't go. And both of them eventually stood up and had the courage and could save their nation. And they both had to face Amalek. So they both, using the code word, Machar Ele al Rosh Agiva, and Esther is saying to Achashverosh, come to the feast again tomorrow, because she's connecting herself to Moshe Rabbeinu, to this, there is confrontation. She will stand in front of Haman and Achashverosh, but she gains her power from Moshe Rabbeinu. And still, okay, this is the end of the Midrash. And the Midrash again says, Mara ata Esther lomar umachar ese kidvar ha-melech. Why did she push it off for tomorrow? Ela shekol zaro shel ha-melech lemudim em lipo lemachar. There's a hidden secret here. There's something about tomorrow. We have to regain our strength. We have to daven. And she says, if this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to say the same thing. I'm going to meet them tomorrow. Then I'm going to confront Haman. Then I'm going to say to Achashverosh, this is the man who wants to kill my nation. And this is when she will get exactly what she wants. And again, at the beginning, I said she's on the list of being one of the Nevi'ot. On that list, we had 48 male Nevi'im and 7 female Nevi'ot. So the big question remains. Yes, she was standing in front of Chachamim and saying, I want to be part of the Tanakh. Kitvuni ledorot. I need to be written in the Tanakh so my story will be told, and that's great. And if the Tanakh, and if Chachamim finally said yes, your story is worthy and you're part of the Tanakh, and if the Gemara is telling us that she was a Nevi'ah, so why is she in the Ketuvim part of the Tanakh? Remember, the Tanakh has 3 different sections, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. And if the Gemara is teaching us that Esther Malka is actually a Nevi'ah, why is she part of the Ketuvim? So I think this is the most important part. It says that Esther is the last miraculous story that we'll see that is a very obvious kind of miracle. A miracle that one day we have this horrible decree and the Jews are terrified by Haman and his horrible plans. And the next day, Baruch Hashem, the Jews are saved and we're creating this new holiday to celebrate this miracle. But Esther is exactly on the verge between Nevi'im and Ketuvim. Because if we read this story in the Tanakh, it's different. It doesn't have Shem Hashem's name. It doesn't happen in Israel. Remember, those of you who learned the daf about the Gemara is asking, why isn't there Hallel in this holiday of Purim? Why don't we say Hallel? So we're actually on the verge between Nevi'im and Ketuvim. And I think that this is the beautiful message here. Esther is like us. She's a young Jewish woman that didn't speak directly with Hashem, but she felt his presence. She wasn't a Nevi'ah like the ones before her. Yes, she was connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. She was even connected to Sarah Imenu. She had this strength, but her reality was a very difficult one. Growing up without parents at her uncle's house and then being taken to the palace, she went through a lot. And I totally understand why she was so scared. And she says, she said, I'm not the person to rescue the nation. Yes, she needed the push. She needed Mordechai to tell her, yes, you are. This is why you were chosen to be queen. It's not a coincidence. This is your calling. This is your mission in life. And this is why she's in the Ketuvim. Because the Ketuvim is not about miracles that we can see in our eyes and say, this is incredible. It's about more daily miracles. And I think that this is why this story is beautiful. Today, as we, as a Jewish nation, we're going through so much that this war and everything that we're going through, and we think about the hostages and all our soldiers that are doing so much for us, and we pray for them and we daven for them. We want to be the next Estelle. We want to be the next one who thought that everything was lost, that she wasn't the right person. But then she got the courage to save a nation, to be there for her nation. And even though she was written in the Ketuvim part of the Tanakh and not the Nevi'im part, I think this is what shows us that everyone, each and every one of us, has their own doing in the world, their own calling. They should do whatever, we should do whatever we can in our own personal reality, wherever we are, whether we're in Israel or outside of Israel. It's all about what we can do to help other people, to help the Jewish nation and be there for one another. So I'm taking a lot of courage and a lot of strength from Esther's story. It's just an ordinary Jewish girl who got caught up in history and became this amazing, amazing queen. And I also learned from the story is that we can take a lot of strength from other people in history who went through difficult times and had to face Amalek like Moshe did, like Esther herself did, and they could. And they saved everyone else. So every year when I read this miraculous Megillah, I take strength from her. But this year, it's totally different. I want to share that while I was in the U.S., my husband flew back to Israel to join Miluim, and three of my brothers were in Miluim. And I said, okay, when I'll come visit on the week before Purim, everything's going to be okay. But I'm about to meet my brothers, which I haven't seen, who I haven't seen since the beginning of the war, but one of them got called up again. So I'm gonna see him. I don't know how, but I'm going to figure it out. So when I was preparing for this year tonight, I said, if Esther could do it, and she had the courage and the strength for the whole of Am Yisrael, each and every one of us, wherever you are, we're going to take a little bit of the courage and the strength that she had. And Im Yirtzeh Hashem, b'mehra b'yamenu, we'll see all the hostages back and our soldiers safe and home. And Shashem ishlach lanu arbe arbe kuach. And may we have Purim just like Estelle's, a miracle for all of us. So we're going to do the Siyum now. And I want to say thank you again for joining us. And I know it's online, but I like an actual Gemara. So the last daf, some of you texted me that you haven't learned the last daf, and it's okay. But we're going to learn together the final sentences of the Gemara. The Gemara finishes with talking about a Sefer Torah, how to hold it and what to do with it. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you can't hold the Sefer Torah without the cover. Amar Rabbi Parnas, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol ha'ochez Sefer Torah Arum Nikbar Arum. If it's like the Sefer Torah is kind of naked, so you would be buried like this also. And the Gemara is saying, what do you mean? Arum salka da'atach? But you have to say, nikbar arum belo mitzvot. So they're trying to really show us how important it is to hold Sefer Torah in a very respectful manner. Belo mitzvot salka da'atach. And then Abaye say, what does that mean? You're losing all the mitzvot that you perform throughout your life. So Abaye explains, no, nikbar arum belo ta mitzvah. If you're not holding the Sefer Torah properly, then this mitzvah doesn't count. Amar Rabbi Anai Brei de Rabbi Anai Saba Mishmei de Rabbi Anai Rabba. It's better that you will roll up the mitpacha, the covers, and don't roll the Torah without the cover, without that mitpacha. The Gemara finishes with how do we prepare ourselves to the Chagim? Ve'edaber Moshe et Moadei Hashem el Bnei Israel mitzvatam shiyu kurim otam kol echad ve'echad bizmano. What do we have to do? Tanu Rabbanan, Moshe tikanem leYisrael, shiyu shoalim v'dorshim b'inyanu shel yom. We have to prepare ourselves for each and every holiday. Hilchot Pesach b'Pesach. We have to come prepared and know what to do on Pesach. Hilchot Atzeret b'Atzeret. Also for Shavuot, we have to learn and prepare. Hilchot Chag b'Chag, Sukkot. Hadrana lach, bnei ha'ir, uslika lach, masechet Megillah. Maggie, can you share the whole Hadrana lach text? Thank you so much. Okay. Hadrana lach, masechet Megillah, ve'adra chalan, da'atan lach, masechet Megillah, ve'da'ata chalan, lo nitshe minach, masechet Megillah, ve'lo titshe minan, lo be'alma aden, ולא בעלמא דעתי. הדרן הלך מסכת מגילה, והדרה חלן, דעתן הלך מסכת מגילה, ודעתה חלן, לא ניט שמינך מסכת מגילה, ולא תיט שמינן, לא בעלמא אדן, ולא בעלמא דעתי. הדרן הלך מסכת מגילה, והדרה חלן, דעתן הלך מסכת מגילה, ודעתה הלך, לא תיט שמינך מסכת מגילה, ולא תיט שמינן, לא בעלמא אדן, ולא בעלמא דעתי. יהי רצון מפניך, אדוני אלוהינו, ולא...
Just a little slower because people want to say it with you and their Hebrew is not as good as yours.
Okay, so let's say it together one more time. Do you want to say
It's
that
okay.
along
We
with
can do
me?
it from here, but
Okay. יהי רצון מלפניך, שם אלוקינו ואלוקי אבותינו, שתהא תורתך אומנותנו בעולם הזה, ותהא עמנו לעולם הבא, חנינא בר פפא, רמי בר פפא, נחמן בר פפא, אחי בר פפא, אבא בר פפא, רפרם בר פפא, רחיש בר פפא, סוחה בר פפא, עדה בר פפא, דרו בר פפא. הערב נא אדוני אלוהינו דברי תורתך בפינו בפיות עמך בית ישראל, ונהיה אנחנו כולנו צאצאינו וצאצאי עמך בית ישראל, כולנו יודעי שמך ולומדי תורתך לשמה, מאויבי תחכמני מצוותיך כי לעולם היא לי, יהי ליבי תמים בחוקיך, למען לא אבוש, לעולם לא אשכח פיקודיך, כי בם חייתני, ברוך אתה אדוני למדני חוקיך, אמן, 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 סלע ועד. יהי רצון מלפניך, אדוני אלוהי, כשם שעזרתני לסיים מסכת מגילה, כן תעזרני להתחיל מסכתות וספרים אחרים ולסיימם, ללמוד וללמד, לשמור ולעשות, קיים את כל דברי באהבה. וזכות כל התנאים והאמוראים ותלמידי חכמים יעמוד לנו ולזרענו, שלא תמוש התורה מפינו ומפי זרענו עד עולם. ויתקיים בנו בהתהלכך, תנחה אותך. בשוכבך תשמור עליך, ועקיצותה היא תשיחך, כי בי ירבו ימיך, ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים. אורך ימים בימינה, בשמאלה עושר וכבוד, אדוני עוז לעמו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו בשלום.